Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Your bathroom doesn't have dirt. Bloody hell. Look at you.
A motorized rake.
I was so excited to do this case, and you've not let me down at all. Thank you.
Also, can I just say, there are fewer things more sacred than a toothbrush.
Yeah. Like...
Great!
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. Oh, Men's Month. It comes earlier every year, doesn't it? I swear the shops were advertising for it all the way back in August, and it's become so commercialized, but we still enjoy it, don't we,
guys? We do. I bought my Men's Month eggs. I don't know what they are. I was thinking Easter. Now it sounds like some kind of sex egg, and I'd like to retract that immediately.
No, I don't think you should. I think in a weird way, that is the perfect segue to introduce our guest, and we are very sorry about that. The listeners are like, wow, what's about to happen? We're so excited to have you here. From the hugely popular podcast, My Dad Wrote a Porno, please welcome Jamie Morton.
Yay!
Thanks, guy. I mean, honorary woman solving crime. I mean, it's Men's Month.
Yes.
Welcome.
So excited to be here.
Yeah.
This is so fun.
We're so excited to have you. I'm really sorry you got introduced with a sex egg, but it was going
to
happen.
Oh, do you know
happen.
What? Honestly, I'm so used to it now. I should have brought my own dildo, didn't I? Hand them out as gifts, you know. Honestly, if it exists, my dad will sign it for you.
Oh. I mean, now we have to. So
you can find anything My Dad Wrote a Porno related that dad hasn't signed. It's worth a fortune. So if you can track it down, sell it on eBay.
What a marvelous sentence to be able to say, though. Like, it's just so beautiful. It warms my cockles. Can he sign my cockles? Is that something you can sign?
Oh, he travels with a pen. He can sign anything you want.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Jamie, we always start the podcast by asking our guests the same question. And that question is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have. Well, actually, I mean, I say a crime. I mean, I've been a few little things like theft. I know you get that a lot. People say, like, you know, Nick Mohammed got his fake grass stolen. That's It's like random. No, but I'm going to go back in time.
Okay.
I was quite bullied as a kid, as I'm sure you can imagine. You know, being creative and that. Yeah. Up in Manchester. And I was thrown onto the tracks of the railway.
Oh shit!
I know, by some bullies, which was sad.
Fucking hell!
But I was saved. Well, not saved. I was helped by Roy Keane.
Oh my god!
Who was then the captain of Manchester United.
Holy shit.
Was like around the treble.
I love
time.
The fact that you told us just in case, like one of us was like, is Roy Keane just this guy?
I don't know, yeah.
You, your dad's mate. Yeah.
He's always
American, you
American.
Might not know who Roy Keane
I'm really
is.
Proud because I knew that one.
Oh,
and
yes,
I, yes,
oh, good,
I often
good,
have
good.
To go like, and that is.
Yeah. David Beckham. So Roy Keane, who I didn't really know. My mum ran a nursery school in Manchester and his kid went to the nursery school. And I look like my mum, not like my dad, which has helped me in public a lot. Because no one knows what... Because people think that, oh, that must be his dad. No. He looks nothing like me, thankfully for him. So he kind of recognised me and he was like, hey, leave him alone. And they were like, oh, my God, that's Roy Keane. But my parents, because they're insane, and they're like the Sharky and George of, like, bullies.
Can I just say a Sharky and George reference? Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
they were like the crime busters of bullies. They got the police involved.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, Mum and Dad, you have to really...
But you were thrown like a train track.
I mean, by the bullies. What, they're going to do, move schools? Like, you don't live that one down. So have
it
the
was,
police.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, until the past 5 years, it's like, don't get anyone in authority involved or you're dead. Like, that was just the rule, which is horrible.
It is pretty serious, though.
It was serious. And so they were like, oh, you know, we're going to get a policeman around to the house. And I was, like, questioned in the kitchen, which was just really weird.
And what age were you again? Sorry.
Probably about... 12.
Okay, yeah.
12, 13. So little.
Yeah.
Little, young.
Yeah.
And the police were like, you know, obviously can't do anything about it. I think they like talked to them or something. Oh, no, they did. That was what made it worse, yes. So they then talked to the bullies.
Oh, no.
So you can imagine how that one went.
I'm sorry, it's just that Roy Keane is a witness if this goes to court.
Yeah, you're right. And I was like, I can't bring Roy into this.
But he'll vouch for you.
Mm. Also, you were thinking if the police didn't... if your parents didn't get the police involved, were you like, Roy Keane will just turn up every time?
Exactly.
You get bug washed. And Roy's there going, what?
I felt like I had massive cool points because Roy Keane intervened on my behalf and then Mum calls the fucking police. And I was like, no. And actually, we were talking about it recently, and my mum was like, well, you know, they never did it again, though, did they? And I was like, no, I just didn't tell you when they did stuff again. Obviously,
shit.
Because you don't want to keep going.
Didn't want you to intervene again. Oh, that's horrible.
So it wasn't really a crime. It was just like,
it
you know.
It was a crime.
No, that's a crime.
Is it a crime?
An attempted murder.
It was an attempted murder. Thank you.
If we go and grab someone and pull them onto the rail tracks now, people will think that is a crime.
Yeah. It's like a weird thing, isn't it? That when you're kids, like common assault isn't really assault. Or you don't view it as that. Maybe you do legally, obviously, just to clarify.
Oh, God, I wish I'd grown up in the UK. Was this an active railway line as well?
Because I got the train to school.
Oh my goodness. Because also, just, I mean, from the signs, you're not supposed to go on there because you could get electrocuted.
Exactly.
Like,
so
there are other dangers.
I was breaking the law because I was trespassing.
Oh, that's it. That's what I'm blaming.
I don't want to say you deserved this, Jamie. But...
Yeah.
We haven't even asked what you were wearing.
Misuse of a public railway.
Mm.
Also, there's all those videos. I don't know whether I feel like... We might all slightly be too young for them. I think they were in like the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, okay.
Do not go on the train track.
Oh, because of the electricity.
Yeah.
I never really thought that. I was so scared. There's like trams in Manchester.
Mm.
As a kid, I was so afraid of standing on the tracks, even on the pavement. I was like, pretty sure you can't get electrocuted.
They wouldn't let it, but. Oh, my goodness. There's so much to unpack here. I mean, where my head went immediately was, you know, they pay people like Roy Keane to do. You know, public announcement. It's like public campaigns against bullying. But there he was in person.
Yeah, it was. It's literally like those things with the warning of the thing, and then the moral of the story is a superhero doesn't think it's cool, so you have to.
Exactly. The Green Cross Code Man, I think, was Darth Vader. I think it was.
Yes.
What's he called?
Oh, David Earl.
Dave Prowse.
Oh, yes.
Dave Prowse. He was
not James Earl Jones. Yeah, not the voice.
The voice. No.
Okay, I fully thought you meant the character.
Very effective.
Gosh, Jamie, we always give our guests the opportunity to say something to the perpetrators, and I'm really excited to hear this one, because just saying, I'm Jamie Morton is pretty big to your bullies, but what would you say to them, if you could, today?
Do you know what? I learned something recently, because this is a little bit too much information, but I was wanging on about Trump to my therapist, and I was like, I just hate him. And she was like, we don't hate anyone. And I was like,
don't we
strongly dislike? Do not approve of his actions. No, I was like, so I don't hate anybody, and so I'd just be like, do you know what? You were kids, it was fine. I don't really care. I mean, I feel like everything in your life is like building blocks to becoming the person that you are.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they hadn't have thrown me on the tracks, I might not have sold out Radio City Music Hall. So, you know, I have to thank them, really. No, joking, obviously. No, but like, you know, they were kids. It's fine. I don't really mind.
Okay.
I don't hold much emotional baggage with me.
Oh, man. That's very healthy. Well, can I get the name of your therapist?
She's great.
Because, damn, that was so important. Well, wow.
Amazing.
Thank you for that story. Did you... I mean, along the therapy lines, were you scared of railway tracks after that?
No, not as much as I was afraid of beep, beep, the name that's been redacted.
Gotcha.
No, he scared the shit out of me. But no, train tracks were fine. They were kind of, if anything, my friend. I'd rather be on the train tracks than the platform with him. So, fine. No, it was all good.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I would hate to think that somebody's railway experience has been... I don't know why
I haven't been able
that.
To travel by train since, which in this country is a fortunate thing because you'd get nowhere.
Well, you did mention that you ran here tonight, so I'm like, maybe he can't take the train.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just putting two and two together. Jamie, thank you so much for sharing that tale.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Sorry.
It's good to share. Wow.
And thank you, Mr. Keane. Is he still alive?
Yeah,
of course.
Thank you, Mr. Keane. I'm sure you're a regular listener. You really did a good one.
Yeah, what a guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
And he would definitely remember that. I wish we could... Let's see if we can get in touch and ask him if he remembers that day. Okay.
Men's Month next year, Roy Keane.
Yes!
Oh. Yes! Oh, my God.
There we go.
Let's only have men that were present at the at the crimes of the other men that we've had on.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
I can't wait to have the bullies on.
We'd have one of those red table talks, couldn't we? And just like get it all off our chest.
Yeah.
And just be like, why did you have to do it? And they'd be like, I don't know.
It was generational trauma.
Exactly. They were hurting too, you know. Hurt people, guys.
They do, but still. But yes, continue. It's like the buck has to stop somewhere.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
All right, shall we solve some crime?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I just say, preface the fact that I'm so shit at all sorts of things like this. So thanks for having me on, but I'm going to be no help.
You say that now. Wait till you hear us.
Okay. No, you guys are good. I'm always like,
I think the greatest skill on this podcast is just being able to interrupt with a silly anecdote or, do you know what I mean?
Okay, fine.
There we go. All right. A 19-year-old Frenchman called Angelo Hayes fractures his skull. Your very first question is, how do you suppose he fractured his skull?
By being thrown onto the train.
And then Thierry Henry. I know French footballers as well, baby. I was like, you know, in your head when you're like, there's a joke there. I've got to think of a French footballer. Fuck, I don't know any French footballers. Thierry Henry.
That was very well done,
that was
Hannah.
Quick.
That's
I think
from
that was.
The
what
Emmy
made it
Award
even better is the way I explained it afterwards.
Yeah. It's never too early to analyse a joke you've just said.
Do you know why that was really good? Because I managed. So he's 19. He's a Frenchman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's fractured his skull.
And that's all we know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think he was doing a crazy experiment, trying to prevent time travel, and he fell off his toilet. Save the clock tower. Save the clock tower.
As someone who has fallen off a toilet, I would say that. So you can fracture your skull doing that. I just broke my toes.
Did you really?
Yeah, because like there was a mouse that came from behind the toilet.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I kind of tripped over my pants.
No, I just remember.
It was a communal wee.
It's the same time there was WhatsApp chat about this.
Right.
We have a very active WhatsApp life, all of us. Guess what just happened?
I live stream every one of my pisses to these guys.
Okay, so we've got falling off toilets times two and being thrown in the train track. Well, yeah. I shall tell you, Angelo, also, some of the sources say that his name was Angel, but an equal number of sources say Angelo, and I prefer Angelo, so that's what I'm going with, because that's how cops work. Just almost tell the story that I want to tell. Angelo was out for a joyride on his motorcycle, and the motorcycle skidded out of control, and he was thrown headfirst into a brick wall.
Oh, my.
So a very serious accident. Some onlookers, they weren't lurking, they were looking, and that's different. Some onlookers ran to the scene to help. One of them felt for a pulse, and there was none. A doctor also examined Angelo and confirmed he was dead. And the injuries were so severe that Angelo's parents were not permitted to view the body before the burial.
Oh,
God.
He was laid to rest in a town called Saint-Quentin de Chalais. But a couple days later, someone orders his body to be exhumed. Who do you suppose that was?
Not his mother to want to see him one last time. Not that, because that's morbid and gross.
Not that.
So,
would it be somebody... Somebody's ordered it to be exhumed?
Yes.
So could that be in the spirit of science? It's too late to put the organs in someone else. We don't know what year this is.
Yeah, do we know when it is?
We don't know the year yet.
Okay.
That question is coming.
But I feel as though it kind of has to be a police person, right? Because you can't just, like, I can't just go to Highgate Cemetery and go, I want Karl Marx, I want to see it. Yeah. Do you know
what I mean? What about the owner of the wall? What if they wanted to kind of, you know, reprimand the body?
Oh, let's think about the wall.
You broke my wall and you have no consequences apart from being dead, which is in certain ways the biggest
consequence. I need closure on the wall.
Yeah.
You hurt my hedge.
I wonder if he's been buried with something that somebody wants.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah. Really good guess.
Yes, so it's not about him, it's about what is in the casket with him.
Somebody dropped their iPhone in it. Like,
yeah.
Because I would exhume a body to get like all of my pictures and stuff. I'd be like, oh, but it's got 100%, all of my
I don't pay for the cloud. Like, you got to get in there if you want to keep those
things.
Did you
see all of that crap that was buried with the Queen?
Like, I missed that bit.
Some stick and put that in there. I was like, bloody hell. Yes. Like, how much stuff is going to be in this grave? Littering, frankly.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd have in mine. It's exciting to think about.
What, like, to tantalise people to dig you up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, where's one of my shoes? I bet Hannah's pranked me.
Oh my gosh, and then Hannah would just have the best callback ever.
She
would just sit up one last time.
Yeah. I mean, coffins aren't, you know, time capsules that tend to be dug up just to see what's in them from 50 years ago.
Look,
I wonder what
lived.
They were wearing in 2000. Let's not guess what.
Oh my God, my new kids on the block. Oh dear.
Bless you for doing that. Because
2000 and
100 million.
Yeah. So bad at maths. Couldn't even think of a date that's in the future. But bad, yes.
Oh my God. Because we laugh about that. But if you had said a year, that year I would just be sat in a room going, Jamie's hand.
Never leave any kind of padded room. This room would be great.
It would be like, like Twilight Zone. And then on the last day, you die in the room, ironically. Sorry.
Yeah. No, 100%. I'd fall off a toilet, smash my head open. Oh, my one pleasure.
Well, I will tell you now, it was an insurance company who became suspicious at the timing of a large insurance policy his father had taken out just 2 weeks before the accident.
Oh.
In addition, the family had filed the claim just a day after Angelo's death. So, we will talk more about that in a moment, but it's time for my favorite question. What's the year?
Okay, so motorcycle, so yes. Obviously, yes. Like, relatively
We've
modern.
Got walls.
Walls.
We know that.
Oh, the day they invented walls. Oh.
It was a huge day, wasn't it? It was massive. And this is Paris or just France?
It's just France. Just in fact, France, it's rural France.
And oh, okay.
Have we talked about motorcycle helmets?
Oh. No mention of a helmet, but he wasn't wearing one.
So
yeah, that's because Darth Vader hadn't visited his school.
No, he didn't know.
You must wear a helmet.
One of those huge Darth Vader helmets as well. Yeah.
So it's pre, what do you say, the 70s, early 80s? So it's pre that.
Yeah.
So I definitely would have learned that.
It's pre-health and safety kids videos.
Yeah.
Amanda's just hoping I'd stop doing the Darth Vader noise into her ear. That was the last time. No rule of threes this time.
I'm going 1962.
1962, great year for cycle motors.
I'm going like 1939 because I feel like in the war they had
motorbikes,
bikes, right, with sidecars.
The French Resistance. He could have worked for the French Resistance.
Hello. Ooh.
So I'm going to go 1943.
Nice, right at the end of the war, when the Americans claimed I love pretending to be annoyed about the Americans coming over.
When they decided to get involved.
When they bloody turned up.
It's such a great running joke, though.
I know, I do enjoy that joke on this podcast.
We have done it quite a lot.
And she's never apologised.
If you're going to be late, make an impact.
Hey, you made all my motto. Impact.
So we had 1962, 1939, and 43. It was 1937, so that goes to Hannah George.
Nice. Okay. I should stop sounding so surprised when I get something right.
Have you been cheating? Have you been having a little cheeky look?
I'll go 37 rather than 38. Yeah.
Don't look. Because we're so good at solving crimes, we'd sniff you out immediately.
So 1937, an exhumation is ordered. Exhumation? That's a word, yes. Oh. They open up Angelo's coffin and they discover something strange. What was strange?
Claw marks, like he woke up because they hadn't done his death properly. That's too grim, isn't it?
No, for a true crime podcast?
Yeah, and similar to that, I don't think he has any like trauma to the head at all.
Ooh.
I think it was a completely faked
walls hadn't been
interesting.
Oh God, those are both such good theories.
So they can work together. So he actually woke up and tried to claw his way out because he didn't actually die in that way.
Yes.
Because I think I'm just going to say it. I'm really suspicious of the dad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. He's my prime suspect too.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you know what? Just for a bit of equality, I'm going to blame the mum on this one. So I think it was...
Hannah, you can. I can't, but you can.
This is why we have men's mums, so people can blame the dads. Yeah. Yeah, I think... Oh, God, you're so right that could be... Because it does feel sus, doesn't it? The fact that, you know, 2 weeks
before... And they couldn't have an open casket or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's suspicious. We should have thought about that.
We should have thought about... Gosh, we are blowing this wide open. I mean,
you guys are doing very well. And it goes, I mean, you guys.
I got the year, but...
No, you're all doing very well. I mean, you're on to something because his body was still warm.
What?
And in fact, Angelo was still alive.
What?
Hang on, how long after he was buried was
this?
Two days.
Oh, 2 days.
Two weeks,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
He was still in a coma, which is merciful, isn't it?
Oh, okay, so he wasn't... God, you've seen that movie with Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, no,
Kill Bill, you know, buried alive.
Yeah. Big
awful.
You just need that punch and you're fine.
Exactly.
It's fine.
So how is this possible that he could survive all of this? What's your theory about what's going on? I mean, you've already sort of put some stuff in there. Have you changed your mind on that?
Can I just get some clarification on stuff?
Oh, yes.
Were there witnesses to the accident?
There were.
So we know that that did actually happen.
We know that the accident was okay.
So he survived that, but he was still pretty beat up, but he wasn't dead.
Correct.
So they buried him thinking that he was dead, if we're being kind.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, this doctor needs to be struck off. He's on the payroll of the scam.
Yeah, I'm looking at the doctor, because if a doctor pronounces someone dead... Yeah. I always find it funny, because in movies and in TV, they always go to the pulse for 3 to 4 seconds, go, oh my God, they've gone.
Yeah.
Close the eyes, and you're just kind of like...
I'm calling it.
Yeah. So, no, I think maybe let's do like a few more checks. So I think that the medical profession is to blame, but also I think that they definitely did it deliberately.
Who? The parents?
The parents in cahoots with the doctor.
Oh, okay. We're still suspecting the parents.
I think
they're
so.
Behind this.
Well, I just think they took out a huge insurance policy.
It doesn't look good, does it? It doesn't.
So hang on. So your question was how did he survive this?
Yeah. What has happened? How did he survive 2 days in a coffin?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he's unconscious, he doesn't need to eat.
Yeah.
Or drink, I guess.
I love that you said eat first. Because I always think that when I used to read like loads of Stephen King, and he'll have people that are like trying like this book called Gerald's Game, and she's handcuffed, and I'm like, but I'd be so hungry. Well, I guess thirsty first. Yeah. Like, I want a sandwich.
And you can live for so much longer, can't you? Like without water. No, without. No, actually, you die without water.
Yeah.
You have 3 days in your nuts.
Way.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But I'm
yes, please.
I'm sure I couldn't go a full day without food. I don't care what science says, and I'm not going to find that out. So I will tell you, again, you're on the right track. It's 1937, and they don't have quite the same equipment, but it's also rural France.
Yeah.
Yes. And just the fact that he's been in this accident, he looks very dead.
You'd assume death.
He didn't feel a pulse, but he was in such a deep coma, and his pulse was so weakened that you couldn't feel it. But it also meant that he needed very little oxygen. So the tiny amount in the coffin just kept, and probably the fact that he was 19. If he had been any older...
Those virile lungs.
Remember them well. But I imagine he was kind of, I mean, I don't want to stereotype the French, but I'm kind of thinking he was kind of sexy and smoking. And like, his lungs might not have been all that. He'd been smoking since he was 8.
Yeah.
Probably. It doesn't catch up with them until they're in their 50s, though.
Apparently, if you quit, this is probably a huge lie. just going to say, this isn't medical advice, guys. But apparently, if you stop smoking before you're 30, there's no effect.
Wait.
Love it.
I know. Everyone's like, thank God. A doctor told me that.
Oh my God, I quit when I was 25. You're what a waste fine. Of 5 years, oh, though. I could have powered through. Damn
it's
it.
Probably complete bullshit. I don't know where. No, I know where I got the information from, a doctor, but he might have been like this doctor and really not.
You know what, I've never smoked and I have to take 6 puffs of inhalers a day. So it's kind of like you win some, you lose some.
It's very similar to that.
It doesn't look as cool on my motorbike. Doing my brown puffer. Which is what I call my cigars. It's not. I've never smoked a cigar.
Have you not?
No.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, they stink as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a fan.
They do. And I was a smoker, and I have to say cigars are like at least 10 times worse smelling to me.
That's
subjective.
All right, where are we on pipes? Come on.
I went down a bit of a rabbit hole in my head with this because I was thinking you'd be so glad that you were in a coma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, have you guys ever heard of locked-in syndrome?
Yes, from The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is a movie which based on a book of, I think it was like it was the guy who was the editor of Vogue, I think, in France, in Paris, France. And he had locked-in syndrome, which meant he could only blink one eye. He was in there, but his entire body was paralysed. And so he wrote an entire book called The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
It took them ages to clock that he was communicating with the blink, right? They thought it was just sort of a reflex. This is my worst nightmare. This is why I'm putting that out there, because we all have our like worst scenario, like to be conscious, but you cannot move or communicate. That is just...
But nobody can be charmed by me. It would be awful.
You guys, I just had such a witty thought before. Get the alphabet board. Oh, my goodness. So locked-in syndrome. It's when you're in a coma, but you're fully aware. Sort of like Liz Truss.
Can we discuss what's wrong with her? I know that's a long conversation. Oh, my God, do you know something funny about Liz Truss? Not funny. She once stood on my foot and blamed me.
Wow.
This is a true story.
That should have been your crime.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is a crime.
Look, we've got time. What the hell? What happened?
I was at an event, this is years ago. I think she was like trade minister during the pork markets era of Truss. And yeah, we were at this event. It was like an evening standard thing.
Okay.
So she was there and yeah, I was just like arriving. And she walked past me, stood on my foot, nearly fell over, and then, excuse me. And I was like, you stood on my foot. And then just like walked off.
Wow. If there was ever a way to sum up a terrible person, that's a great story.
Well, you know what? I think it really speaks about the woman. And let's unpack that, because she did something wrong and she blamed somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't anything wrong. She just, you know, accidentally stood on my foot. It wasn't a big deal. But like.
But she dealt with it in a kind of.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Entitled? Shitty, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe. A little bit of entitled.
Yeah. Because the correct thing to do would have been an apology.
Yeah, but that would be my natural reaction.
That would be...
Even if, you know, even when I got stood on, I was a bit like, oh, sorry.
I pushed down an escalator and I apologised.
I was stood on the train tracks and I said, I'm sorry, guys. Like, what is wrong with this woman? Like,
I mean,
reactionary, defensive.
Yeah.
Accusatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought, oh, God, whatever, Liz Truss. Who? Prime Minister. Oh. Actual Prime Minister.
Oh, no.
Isn't it there just... I still can't get over it.
And this is coming out in November. What will she be by then?
Oh, she won't be Prime Minister. That's fine. Ex-Prime Minister.
God.
Boris will be back.
Oh, God.
No, I know.
No.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, that was a tangent, Taylor. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that was a great tangent. That needed to happen. I'm so glad I shoehorned in that silly joke just so we could get that great anecdote. Absolutely. Okay, so Angelo's body is warm. He's alive. He's still in a coma when they find him. What happens to him ultimately in the long run?
Oh, he dies.
Okay.
He doesn't make it.
Doesn't survive. No. Okay.
I mean, he was 19 in 1938, so I imagine he's dead by now. He dies at some point, doesn't he?
Anna, stop it.
I mean, what do they do to get you back from a coma in 1930? Yeah. But also, he's at the age where he would have been great for the war, so they might be like, let's get this guy back because we need some more people for the war.
He would have been great for the war. He didn't have a face. I mean, he would have been young enough to serve.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how useful he would have been.
It's a great point. It's a great point.
Ex-coma, no head. Great. I mean, I know things were desperate before you guys turned up.
Pop him on a submarine. It's fine. Like,
so
he can sleep.
Wait, it's 1937?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
Well, yeah, I think he gets nursed back to health. He writes a memoir. Then he joins to serve, and then he gets killed, sadly, in the war.
Oh, that would be sad, yeah. If he actually survived this, but then was killed in battle.
I mean, that's essentially what I said. I assumed he would die in battle.
With more storytelling flair, to be honest. No joking.
I'd have to say that Katie is closest in as much as he has several... He wakes up. Wow. He has several surgeries to reconstruct his face. He has to undergo some rehabilitation, but he makes a full recovery.
Wow!
Oh, my God.
Bonkers.
Yeah, yes. You know what? Well done, France, in 1937.
Bonkers.
And then he became Angel because he was a miracle man.
God.
That's why there's the discrepancy. He was Angelo before.
Yes.
And then he became Angel.
Yes. After.
There's your storytelling,
Claire. This is his superhero origin story.
Exactly, yes.
Sorry, I'm just so impressed that you put that info together and did that. Jamie Martin, ladies and gentlemen. That was brilliant. Okay, now, there's a disappointment in this case because there's a slight lack of information about what exactly happened with the whole life insurance policy, because you'd want to know, did somebody say so about that? From what we can tell, nobody ever looked into it, and they were just so thrilled that he was alive and everything worked out. Oh. But trying to find this out is how I stumbled on one of the best videos that I've watched in a very long time. It's from a channel on YouTube called Investigation Discovery. Oh, my God.
You are pulsating with excitement, even repeating the name out loud.
It's so good. And I know that, like, describing a video on a podcast, no, it's going to work. Just come with me on that. But do yourselves a favor and go and watch the whole thing. They do a full reenactment
of this
whole story.
Oh!
wow.
But it's drunk history.
It is. It's very much like that, just because.
Not of this podcast. Of just. How did they know what we were going to do? Drunk women solving crime.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's super American, even though they're like, he's from France, but we can't achieve that with our budget. So they just have Angelo leaving his house. It's this like country home in the U.S. And they James Dean, he's like a dime store James Dean, right. And his hair is all slicked.
Smoking.
Yeah, of course yeah. He was.
And he walks out. And his mother runs out and says, please wear your helmet, Angelo. And he says, oh, come on, Mom. It'll mess up my hair. And I'm like, I'm sure that's exactly what happened. And then he puts on these goggles that are supposed to look retro, but the costume department obviously didn't think to like, cut the strap, so there's just this long strap hanging down. He's like, yeah, brum, brum. Anyway,
did he wear a helmet?
No. No helmet.
His chose hair. The goggles over the helmet.
Chose the goggles.
They're going to mess up his hair.
You got to look after your sight.
That's true.
Oh, my gosh.
How else do you see that you're stuck in a fucking grave?
They just wanted the goggles back. That's why they buried it with those.
So he takes off, and then the host appears from out of a tree. You have to watch this. And he just goes, safety was never top of Angelo's mind.
I mean, it isn't when you're 90.
I mean, it's true.
The shit we've done.
And then he says, if we all listened to our mothers, the world would be a safer place, but not nearly as interesting.
Oh my God, this is like the videos they show kids meets the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Like, why is he coming out of a bush?
Also, why is he shaming Angelo so much? And also, no offense. The man lost a face. I'm not sure a helmet would have done that much.
Yeah, have some respect.
I mean, I'm no expert on, you know, driving into a wall face first, but I'm guessing.
You need the Darth Vader helmet. You
right,
need
the full frontal.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need the full frontal.
Amanda, I want to do the noise, but I'm not allowed. Not worth it. Okay.
You just sound like you're snoring, to be honest. Taylor is so bored of this case right now.
Sorry.
She wishes she was watching that YouTube channel.
Guys, I'm a little sleep deprived because I have a new baby puppy. She's three. Anyway, but she's so cute. Sammy, I love you if you're listening. Okay.
She's the dog.
Yeah, Sammy's a dog. Just delirious.
Love animals too.
So, I'm sorry, I won't describe the entire video, but just one more thing. They cut to the funeral scene, and they show these grieving parents, and they've tried to give this guy a 1930s hat, but it's too small. So he looks like Mr. Potato Head. It's just this tiny head. He's like, oh, is there a cooler fate than to mourn your child? It's just ridiculous. Anyway, sorry, one more line. Fave line. They dig up Angelo from his final, well, almost final resting place. Nice. Okay, I'm done. So, from what I can tell, they were just happy to see him come back to life. Everybody moves on.
The parents were. Okay.
As far as we know. But do you think foul play was involved? Even though history has sort of swept this under the carpet, do you think there's something suspicious, or was it just a coincidence that was he a reckless teen? So they're like, we better get some money out of this. I mean, which is what any parent would think.
Is it common practice to have life insurance policies against your kids? I don't have kids, so I don't know.
No. I mean, I haven't done it.
Because you should. And also, how much are they worth? I mean, yeah. I don't know how you even measure such a thing.
Because it's more, I thought the whole point of life insurance was like earning potential.
Exactly.
Like, so it's not what?
They're
not
a Kit Kat if you're good.
They're not bringing in a lot of income.
If anything, like, you know, you'd save money if they weren't hit. I mean, obviously,
Oh my god, yeah. So insurance policy.
You should pay them.
But, you know, if
you have to pay them.
You should pay them what you grad. Go to college. Like, you know, all the stuff that kids are going to cost you. It's going to cost you a fortune if a kid dies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Or lives.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, you're forking it out. So
I think that it sort of makes sense that they might have taken an insurance policy when he got a motorbike.
Yeah.
Because it kind of makes sense but that they're like, he might die, but I'd get a new conservatory.
So. Well, yeah. I mean, that, but also, if he lives at home and his wages go towards the household,
okay,
there is a loss of earnings.
Yeah, but he's 19. How much can he possibly be earning in 1937?
He's making croissants in the bakery.
Also, Investigation Discovery did not say that he had a job.
Oh, my God, he was so Gen Z. He was just living at home on TikTok or whatever.
With his long strap goggles.
What is the generation before boomers called?
The greatest
the
generation.
Greatest. He's the greatest generation.
Well, yes.
We'll never see their like again.
They got off a little bit easy with that title.
Well, they named themselves.
Come on.
I mean...
They did fight all the wars and live through a depression.
Dibs on the first generation.
Let's call generations names. We're the greatest.
I'd never heard that. The greatest generation.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Because also, didn't some of these people start those wars? So, like, presumably, they're not the greatest.
Why should everybody suffer just because one or two of them were dicks?
Exactly.
It's very true.
And it's how they rallied, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. They had a profound sense of duty.
Your next question is...
Sorry. Yeah, none of this is...
No, you're right. I mean, I was like, I was going to say a joke, but I was like, you're right. They did.
I should have known the wars would come into this with 1937, but I didn't think it would be this
I should have known I'd suddenly become really earnest. Thinking about my grandparents. Good Lord.
Sense of duty. What do you think Angelo went on to do with his life? So all this has happened. What does he do? How do you follow that up?
Well, I mean, as we've discussed, it's France in 1937, so
yes.
It's not looking great for his prospects. Although I feel like fewer men of that age died in the Second World War than the first, right?
Yep.
The first was just like a bloodbath.
I looked towards Hannah. Hannah?
Well, I know who didn't die. A lot of Americans. But,
if they weren't dying in the trenches, they were playing football. And even they probably died.
Yeah.
So I mean, Second World War, maybe he had a good life.
Okay.
Maybe he served, like you said, and that, you know.
Yeah, I feel like he's not getting out of the army. He's the perfect age to be enlisted.
Okay.
But France doesn't, it's quite early, isn't it, that Germany takes over France?
Mm. He could be. I think medically, he's got something to be said.
Oh, you think
be
he can get out of it?
Well, I mean, you know.
I mean, Trump got out with bone spurs, for Christ's sake. I mean,
oh my God.
This guy lost a face.
Yeah.
Was Mel Gibson in a movie called A Man Without a Face? Do you remember?
There's something about a face.
Yeah. Is that what this? I never saw it.
We actually don't
maybe.
Talk about Mel Gibson. No, we do. Two-Face. Maybe he grew up to be Two-Face from Batman.
Oh, my God. He inspired another comic book.
Or Leatherhead. Or Leatherface. Is that the guy from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yes.
Maybe he grew up to be a horror film actor slash inspiration for...
So does he become a serial killer?
Yes.
Fuck!
No. Of course he does it. He becomes a farmer first.
Oh okay.
I know.
That's
sweet.
Nice.
I think he did serve for a time, but he lives.
Okay.
I'd be like, literally, if that had been my story, I'd be like, anything that just gets me loads of fresh air the whole time, I would be a farmer. Yeah. Immediately.
Interesting. Ooh. He becomes a farmer, but then eventually becomes an inventor. And he actually invents something very interesting. What do you think he invented?
Is it a spade?
A spade inside the coffin.
Yeah.
It's a coffin spade.
Yeah.
JML, coffin spade.
Oh, my God, but like...
Have your family buried you and not checked your pulse? Available at Woolworths.
Woolworths. I'm so glad this chair reclines because I've had a lot of, like, grabbing my belly and leaning back and it really, like, I make the most of it.
Man, whatever it is, the world wouldn't have had it if an insurance person hadn't been suspicious.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, my God. Yes.
They saved him.
They let their suspicion.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Which I'm going to twist into an argument for anxiety. I think we should always worry. I think we should always worry because then we take action. Just putting that out there.
Okay.
And that's what my therapist told me.
Oh, man. So that's the action bit I'm not doing. I'm sticking with the anxiety. Not doing anything constructive. Right, got it. Continue.
But you're right. You're right. If they hadn't been like, something's up. Let's stick this body up.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then, Okay, so he's a farmer.
Farmer first, invent.
So does he invent something to help with farming?
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Like irrigation or...
After all that, it would be hilarious if he invented something that, like, killed puppies or something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
if they hadn't saved him, we wouldn't have had that. We wouldn't have had the Puppy Annihilator 3000, would we?
The JML.
JML puppy. Anyway.
Maybe something like the Combine Harvester or something. You know.
I'm just enjoying...
useful? I don't know.
I love it when people start talking about farming. They're like, you know, two things.
My dad was brought up on a farm.
Okay.
Yes.
And you still went Combine Harvester?
I don't know much about what it was. It was in Northern Ireland. It was during the Troubles. I'm not sure how much farming happened.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
What is it, Taylor? I'm excited.
Anyway, I'm going to tell you.
My guess is a motorized rake.
Useful. But didn't survive the war because we don't have them anymore.
No.
So I would love that, though.
We need to know how that works. Is there a hinge? And it's like, dang, 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 dang.
Yes, yes, that's how it works.
So you hold it and it just, like, eats the grass.
It does. You just have to move it around. You don't have to do the, like, the effort.
Because that's
part.
The bit that's really tiresome, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like a tiny little combine harvester.
Oh, my God.
It was the precursor
to the combine harvester. Oh, my God. I just have the best image. And that's the kind of thing they would sell on TV.
I think
that so got JML all over it.
I'm going to tell you. Angelo actually became something of a minor celebrity in 1970s France for his invention. Oh. He went around, told his story, and he shared his invention, which was a survival coffin.
No! Oh, you were right! You were basically right.
Yes! Yes!
But it's so much more than a spade.
Yeah, so what does it involve? Like, I mean, aircon, like...
Yeah. Well,
snacks.
Your next question is... Just that. So he invented it for anyone else who might be buried under the same circumstances. What sort of amenities do you think the coffin included?
Okay.
What would you want in your survival coffin?
Oh, my God.
Obviously, as we've learned, water, please. That's important. Or Prosecco, actually, whichever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you could just imagine him as, like, kind of observational comedian not getting anything. Because he's like, what is the deal with getting buried alive? Like, this is so specific to him, isn't it? It's like...
Yeah. Also, you have to, like, preempt thinking that you're going to be buried alive to buy one of these coffins ahead of your death. So, like... Is it a preemptive, like, in case my family are going to bury me alive?
You've got to be really suspicious of your family and their insurance policies.
Yeah.
How many dodgy doctors does your family know?
That's such a fuck you to your family, isn't it?
Yeah. Just in case you fuck me over.
You guys.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a special
trust
coffin.
You.
Can't imagine it was very cheap either. But yeah, what other amenities do you think survival?
There's
going
to be a bell to ring to alert people to the fact that you're down there.
Well, the 70s could be a massive mobile phone.
Nice.
Oh my God, the pretty woman phone. That's what I go to immediately. Hi, I'm very wealthy.
Or maybe a landline that just has it goes up through the.
Yes. Feels like if I can't get signal in Dalston sometimes, then I don't think I can get signal.
Jimmy, like,
Dalston is basically a survival coffin. Let's be honest. You say hipster, I say survival coffin.
I'm pretty sure there's a bar called the Survival Coffin. I've been there. It's actually really cool.
You're all correct. Yep, it's got water. It's got a way to communicate. There's a radio system in there. But he didn't stop there. Anything else you'd want down there with you?
A pet. For company.
New coffin pet.
You could go mad.
An emotional support puppy.
Yes.
Yes.
That you can travel underground with because it's allowed.
So now you need dog food. It's like, it's going to get pretty stinky pretty quickly. Mm. Is there like, but they think, what, are they going to put them in a nappy? What's the toilet situation?
You could have two coffins next to each other, a smaller one with like, you know, in hotels you get adjoining rooms.
Yes.
Have a little doorway between the two coffins that can be where your support animal lives.
Yes.
You know, and maybe they could be the communicator as well. They can sniff out if you're dead.
Yeah, like Lassie.
Yeah.
That's nice. And then like a dog would like that, wouldn't they? And then if they realise their master is dead, they will just lie down and die next to it. Because yeah, dogs love people. And that's just so beautiful.
I was so excited to do this case, and you've not let me down at all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my comrades. It had luxurious carpeting, because you want a good lining.
Oh, so French.
So you're lying on a carpet still, though.
The interior design comes first.
Yeah, are you standing up in this coffin? Is it a bunker? Has he made a bunker?
No, it's a whole lot bigger than a regular coffin.
Is it?
For sure. It is.
Oh my God.
It is. But yeah, no, you're still lying down. But there's a food locker. There's a chemical toilet, Katie. So you can do your...
Oh, so it's huge.
Posthumous
then.
Business. It's pretty big. They're drying.
You can move around.
Yeah.
How many of these souls?
And a library.
A library?
What?
No. Yeah. I mean, by library, we mean a shelf of books, but still.
We see the days before podcasts.
Oh, God.
Because now all you'd need would be just
your earbuds.
And you guys.
Is there a torch of some kind?
Oh, there's...
So you
there's,
can read these fucking books.
There's a light. Like, you can turn a light
wow.
on. Yeah, this thing is
how many sold, and how quickly did he go bankrupt?
He did not sell... he did not sell the many, Katie, because of the very reason that you gave, like, to think through this and be like, well, what will I put money aside for my death in case...
And where can you even fucking bury it?
True.
That's like half a graveyard.
Yeah.
It's a big plot. These are all good points, but your last question is this. How do you think he tried to promote... the survival coffin.
By faking his own death again.
Oh my God.
To get headlines.
Hey.
Yeah.
And then being like, ha ha, I'm in a survival coffin. I'm going to live in here for a few days, read a few books. And then call.
Yes.
You know, not my parents, because they'll probably
demonstrating.
Keep me down there, but call my wife, husband, whoever.
Does he kind of Airbnb it, maybe? Do you know what I mean? Ooh. Do you know what I mean? Just be like, because I wouldn't mind having a go. Like, sometimes I just want to be on my own. So it's kind of like, I can't just go into the other room. I have to fucking, like, I'm going to the coffin again. Bye, darling.
Oh, it's a great little writer's lair. I agree. That's all you need.
It's like an isolation pod.
But I reckon he probably let people go down there, try it out.
I did a flotation tank once because somebody bought it for me for my birthday, I think.
Was it good?
Well, no, not for me. I understand that lots of people really have any of you ever done this?
No.
Do you know what it is?
Not
really.
You're
it's a coffin
water.
Full of water.
And you're supposed to hallucinate and then relax. Slash relax
you're,
and hallucinate.
You're underwater.
It's
you're
really
floating.
Sort of floating.
You're floating because it's full
it's
of salt.
Sensory deprivation.
So it's like being in the Dead Sea.
Oh. It does something to your brainwaves or something.
What it did to my brainwaves is it made me want to throw up. And I'm like, can't throw up in the flotation tank. They won't like me. And
not
I got in.
Deal.
I got in.
Not on a voucher.
I got in too soon, so I was there for the cleaning mode, so I was being spun around.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And they're like,
oh,
get in 30 seconds. I'm like, well, I'll just get in now. And I'm like, whoa. So I was really sick. I was like seasick.
Oh,
but it's a coffin. You have to pull the lid down. And I was just freaking out, and I just felt so ill.
I feel like you didn't set yourself up for a win with that spin wrench thing.
Yeah.
Anyone who does a flotation, don't go in during the spin cycle is the lesson.
That just sounds like you're paying for a panic attack. Like that's
if you're in any way agoraphobic or is it claustrophobic?
Yeah.
Or
if you're agoraphobic, it's perfect.
You just have to leave the house to get to the bring it to you.
Just put lots of salt in your bath.
But I walked out and they're like, how was it? And I was like, I didn't really enjoy it, I'm afraid. I felt sort of ill. And they're like, oh, 1 out of 10 people experience that.
Wow.
I was like,
10, that's quite high.
It's a high percentage. And then I got some free tea. I'm like, this is the best part. And I just drank my herbal tea. And I milked it because they had
the
this
tea.
Relaxation. Oh, I had like 10 cups of tea. Yes, I get that.
Yeah. It's a terrible joke. I mean,
no, it wasn't.
I mean, it was. But
no, I enjoyed
I'm going to own it. I don't care. It was what we call a gag, wasn't it?
It was very British.
Yeah.
Okay. He showcased it at a fair in France in 1974 by getting buried in it for 30 hours to prove how well it worked. And he didn't stop there. He doubled down. He got buried in it for 48 hours. And this time, it was with a live TV camera feed in 1984.
Wow.
And there must be footage of this somewhere. Wow. Listeners, if you can find
Big
it.
Big Brother footage of him reading books with a torch.
And the chemical toilet time.
Do you remember when David Blaine just sat in a box?
Yes.
Do you know, I'm really proud to be British, but the day that they took that little helicopter with a Big Mac past him, I did find that quite funny because he was doing a hunger thing, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was like, I'm not going to eat. And then somebody like, and I was just like, do you know what? That's quite funny.
That is the mean streak of the British.
Yeah. But this sounds like, I can't believe that. I would, if I was buried alive, I think the last thing I would want to do would be buried alive again.
Yeah, risk it. Why risk
it? He's got like Stockholm syndrome with himself.
Like he, you know, he doesn't remember the first time. So he actually probably doesn't have trauma in that way.
That's true.
It's not technically triggering for him.
He's just an attention seeker, isn't he? Really?
But what's really weird about it is...
I don't know. I've never been beaten up, but that doesn't make me want to go like, no problem. You know,
What's really weird? Like, why is he plugging it so hard? Because, like, sounds like, was... Farming maybe didn't make him happy. Mm. And then it's like those people, you know, the people that like peak in high school and then they're like trying to get back to like that time. And it's like,
I just want to be dead again. God. Remember those days?
Only interesting thing about him.
I just want to be dead again.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I hear you.
The psychology of why keep going back to that
I was relevant once.
Yeah.
I was talked about. I was buried alive.
Oh, my God. Penny peaked at death. Well, he died in 2008 at the age of 90.
My God.
Whoa! I know. Holy shit,
2008.
What an angel.
Yeah, and Janine Garofalo, if you're listening, his cause of death was unknown. Here's to Angelo / Angel.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Guys.
Wow. What a guy. Drunk women solving
crime. I don't normally bring a listener crime that is this long. But oh, wow. I loved how she wrote it out. This is from Rosanna. Thank you so much. Hello, drunk women. When I was 18, I went to Italy to work as an au pair for an Italian family to look after their toddler and newborn. They lived in a big three-story palazzo that housed not only the mom, dad, and kids, but also the dad's elderly mother and 40-something brother. This brother and I had bedrooms next to each other, and we shared a bathroom, much like the coffin situation.
Oh, there you go.
It's a full circle. The elderly mother also had a bedroom and a bathroom on the second floor, but on the other side of the house. The parents and the kids had bedrooms, a bathroom, and a living room on the third floor of the house. I just don't like any of them yet.
It's a lot of geography to get my head around. People are on multiple floors, but all on suites.
It's a family in Italy. She's closest to the brother. The crime occurred a few months into my stay. It was the morning of the baby's christening and everybody was getting ready. I went to the bathroom and noticed that my toothbrush was covered in hairs and dirt and general grossness. This wasn't just a matter of stray bit of fluff having floated to it. It had been deliberately. Go ahead, Hannah, do it.
Hooray!
Also, can I just say, there are fewer things more sacred than a toothbrush.
Yeah. Like,
you really need to keep a toothbrush.
Yes.
It's such an intimate item.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the most intimate items.
It is.
In fact, it's crazy that we just keep it in the open air.
You shouldn't, you know. They come with those caps.
I keep mine in the cupboard, actually.
Oh, yeah, because
that's good.
I keep mine, like, on top of my toilet. That's not good, is it?
That's probably the worst place you could ever keep it.
It probably is.
It's actually safer inside the toilet.
Do you shut the lid when you flush?
Yep. Like, she thinks I flush, so I'm just gonna...
Yeah, actually, there are fewer germs on a toilet seat than there are on your laptop, right? So maybe it's...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's true. Which makes me so proud of my butt.
Would you leave toothbrush by your laptop? Absolutely not. Disgusting. How do you even suggest such a thing?
Wait, Jimmy, is this just your laptop? It's not a fact.
Mine's very suspect, guys.
I found out a few days ago that my daughter's been using my toothbrush. We all have our little Oral-Bs. And I don't usually monitor her brushing. You know, she's 9. She's got this. And I walked in and I was like, that's mine. And she went, I like it better. I'm like, that doesn't matter. Never reproduce. I'm joking.
Keep your own head in your pocket and make sure that you change it each time.
All times.
Yeah. So you're the only one with access.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And then this morning, because I told her off, she, like, grabbed hers, just sort of like...
Oh, like throwing you shade.
She does have a more retro model, so I think she picked that up.
No, it's nice. She wants to be like you. That's a nice thing.
It gave me a cold, which was great.
It's very flattering.
Also, like, she's British. Like, Americans have better teeth. So she must just be like, I want mama's teeth.
Yeah.
She thinks it had been deliberately tampered with, sounds like, and put back in place. It felt like a message.
Okay.
I took it to my employer, and she completely lacked the required interest or incredulity as she was more focused on the upcoming baptism of her child. Selfish.
Yeah.
I added the selfish. She dismissed me with a spare new toothbrush they had lying around. Her husband was a dentist.
Oh.
The possible suspects.
Can I just say at this point, I love the fact that generally it's like a horse's head, but in this it's your head.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Also, a new spare toothbrush that was lying around.
Lying around.
Why?
Husband was a dentist.
I'm gonna use my finger.
They just come home and throw toothbrushes out of their
just
pocket. Fuck these.
God, I can't move for toothbrushes.
You know,
there's a fall out of everything.
I actually was briefly a receptionist for an orthodontist, and we did get free shit. We got free tiny tubes of toothpaste.
Oh, I love
and
those.
Free toothbrushes and
good.
A few bits and pieces. Anyway,
I love mini toothbrushes. I mean, mini. Mini toothbrushes are adorable, too, but anyway. Okay, the dad, a workaholic in his 50s who is sometimes short with others, but always pretty neutral. I sound like Silence of the Lambs. 5'4". Since you lived in Baltimore, I might have lied. Okay, sometimes kind with me. He would usually enter in his dentist studio. Sorry, I'm just going to have to cut some of the details.
Sometimes kind with me.
Yeah.
I mean, these people sound crazy.
They do a little bit. So he's not there very much. She only saw him at mealtimes. The point is, he was nicer to her than anybody else in the family. And then the mother was a lawyer who was much more affable, but still had an edge, although she didn't treat me any less nicely before or after this incident. Their toddler, who loved me but was mischievous. Let's rule that one out. The patriarch's 86-year-old mother, who looked and cackled like a witch and who would chastise me for silly things like not chopping carrots correctly or not plaiting my hair neatly enough. But she didn't seem to hold any ill will towards me and didn't really have the mobility to commit a swift and sneaky crime.
Yeah, she's on a different floor.
Floor. And then we get to the patriarch's late 40s brother.
Mm-hmm.
Who spent Tuesdays through Fridays at the house doing odd jobs and then long weekends at the family home at Lake Garda where his long-term girlfriend lived. I found him a little odd, even creepy perhaps.
I feel like that's a girlfriend that went to a different school, isn't it?
Yeah.
actually, it's my girlfriend at Lake Garda who I go and see. She's got amazing big... breasts.
But she's in Canada.
Yeah.
When you're living with your brother who has a huge palazzo and you're doing odd jobs...
Yeah.
And you're sharing a bathroom with the quote-unquote help. Mm-hmm. I just feel some bitterness here. Mm-hmm. Get this. He used to leave his bedroom door open in the evenings whilst he lay on his bed watching TV, which meant I had to make sure I was fully dressed when crossing in front of it to get to and from the bathroom. But this could have been obliviousness. He wasn't exactly worldly. He once questioned me about my tampon wrappers in the bathroom, believing they were sweets wrappers.
Wow.
I mean, that is the tampon advert I want to see.
So, like, does he have a girlfriend? Like, how do you not know what they are?
Yes.
Well,
very good.
And he'd be like, because I ate loads of them, and they're expanding in my stomach, and I think I need to go to hospital. Yeah.
I feel like we've landed...
Toxic shock syndrome is impending.
We've landed pretty hard in the brother, haven't we? I'm just going to throw these in. His girlfriend was there just for one night. She was in town for the christening. She was noticeably cold towards me for no apparent reason.
So it could be her.
I in no way found her boyfriend attractive. It would have been an insult for her to think I had any designs on the guy.
Okay, it's one of them.
If we can blame a woman, we will, because we're feminists. And then there's a live-out cleaner who I would disregard, but she was a woman in her 40s who seemingly held a grudge towards me. She trashed my room once and complained to my employer that I was leaving my room too messy.
Oh, my God.
That's quite... Well,
yeah,
that's
damning.
Oh, the thing is, that's the same MO as this crime.
This whole family needs help.
Okay, there's
Jamie's therapist.
There's three main suspects.
Yeah.
The cleaner, trashing stuff.
Yeah.
The crazy brother and the girlfriend.
And the girlfriend.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I always like to blame a mother, so I might blame the...
The lawyer mother.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe the elderly mother.
Oh, the elderly one.
Yeah, I think she kind of fits. She's got a vibe that she might just want to...
If she was focused, she could do the stairs.
Yeah, she could do the stairs.
Yeah, if she really wanted to fuck with her,
yeah,
it could be the last thing she ever did.
Also, maybe she wanted to be the nanny, and they're like, no, Nana, no.
But hang on. Sorry to get too specific, but there was dirt on it, so she'd have to go down several flights of stairs. And then get back
the
up.
The premeditation.
Oh, your bathroom doesn't have dirt. Bloody hell. Look at you.
You could just run that by the side of my bath and it'd be fucking filthy.
She could just have a little box of dirt that she keeps.
She could.
When she's cursing people.
Boy, oh boy.
She was a witch, that's true.
Yeah, we're slightly embellishing this, but yeah, yeah.
I think in sum, we're glad you left this job.
Yes.
Hope that helps Rosanna.
Yeah. Yay, cheers, Rosanna.
Jamie, we have just enough time to ask. Mm. What have you got going on?
Apparently you have a podcast.
I have a podcast.
How's it doing?
It's doing okay. It's ticking over.
Cool beans.
We just came off tour, so, you know, we're having a bit of a break.
Jamie, there's a rumour that you might have a Christmas special coming up. Is this true?
It is true. Okay. There will be a Belinda-themed Christmas for everybody. I mean, it's become tradition, really, that... The Christmas specials. I mean, it isn't Christmas without her.
Of course.
So yeah, that's going to come out later.
This is for this the two year. Listeners who don't listen to my
Yes, and you may have heard in the news, it's the end of My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Really sad.
Yeah.
But it's just the next chapter.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we're closing the podcast chapter. It's been really fun, great. And there'll be new exciting things on the horizon that I can't talk about yet. And I always thought people were twats for saying that, but I actually can't legally talk about it yet. But it's not... Belinda will still be in our lives in some way.
Okay, so...
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. Well, all that remains for me to say is thank you so much, Jamie Wharton.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was so much fun, guys.
You're a hell of a detective.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.